It is a great pleasure to welcome in to Static onto SER this evening, Mr. Mikey Young, a man with an album out under your own name.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's weird, isn't it? Is this the first time you've ever released something as Mikey Young?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think you had a Mikey Squires single at one
There's
point.
A Mike Squires single from back in the day, good spotting, maybe early 2000s. It was like a split with my buddy Ransom.
But So you've finally run out of pseudonyms, have you?
Yeah, you know, I got to keep the brand up, you know?
Well, it's all in a good cause because Your Move Volume 1 is this record which, as I understand it, was kind of commissioned by a label, or was it some you know, material you had sitting around?
No, it was, maybe that's why it didn't seem so scary. Like, they approached me with the idea of a series where they're going to get, I don't know who the other people are, but, you know, a series, an instrumental series that's mainly synth-based and based around kind of chess. And you know, they wrote me a big spiel about it, and I thought it was really kind of interesting. And I'd met both the dudes on tour before, and I really liked them as people, and, you know, that's kind of half the deal, really. So, it just, I don't know, maybe because it was part of a series, it didn't really feel like, okay, I'm releasing an album here. It's just something I'm doing, you know? Like,
and it's more conceptual as well.
Yeah, and it got me off my ass to actually do something with, like, because I've always made solo music that doesn't fit any of my bands, just kind of for fun, and it just sticks around on my hard drive, you know, for years. And, you know, it made me actually just finish some things and do some new things for it.
It must be very different than adding your keys to, say, a Total Control song as well, because you're front and center and there's nothing else back in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite similar to how I make songs for, like, a lot of my bands, whereas I'll make a bunch of parts and make a demo and then send it to them. But, you know, the finished product usually ends up nowhere near that. So, yeah, to find the inspiration to finish it myself and have layers and layers of just myself is kind of hard. Like, I heard one song back on the radio in Melbourne last week, and it kind of, yeah, made me all tense. Like, because usually if you're in a band, you can concentrate on someone else's part and go, oh, that's good.
You're sitting there going, geez, that guitar solo shit.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my God, this is so boring. It goes for 7 minutes. This is disgusting.
Because you had sort of tinkered with electronics and keys and prog stuff in Lace Curtain on those EPs. So
yeah, so I guess it's not that far off from that kind of stuff, really.
Yeah, but, you know, it sort of definitely touches on all the touchstones over the few tracks that are on this album, Mikey. You've got your sort of Tangerine Dream and John Carpenter-style soundtracky synthscapes on a track like Lord Barrel, and then a bit of the Eno Cluster sort of warm-flecked guitar tones on Waiting for Pleasure. Like, were you kind of almost running through a whole lot of influences or things you wanted to cross off for Your Move?
Not at all. A lot of those songs were written, like, I wouldn't say written, but were just made, maybe because I got a bit of new gear and I was excited. There's that moment where you get a new piece of gear and you really don't know how to use it very well, and so you just make something that's kind of fairly naive. I kind of like that. And the good thing about most of the things on this record is I didn't spend too much time on them. They were all kind of spontaneous, kind of one-night jams that I just went back to and fixed up a little. And usually the longer I spend on a song, the more I can never listen to it again, you know. So I left these relatively messed with.
If you spend longer on a song as well, do you tend to sort of make it a bit more esoteric or take away some of the initial charm? I mean, a track like Socks is this sort of almost danceable sort of song that sounds like cosmic disco or something. I'm wondering if you had more time to think that thing through, you would have made it a bit weirder.
Yeah, maybe. It sounds like, Socks sounds like dance music to me, but then again, I don't really frequent clubs or dance, so my concept of what goes on out there is probably a bit skewed.
There's also some elements of this record which are far removed from the club, because there's the sounds of nature on Cairns. It's got these, you know, waves lapping. So were you doing some field recordings?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I live like 90 minutes south of Melbourne, so I live by the beach, and I just took my little synth that's got a sampler in it down the beach one day and sat in the sand and made a song, like, with my headphones on, and just pointed the synth at the ocean, and, you know, just being a little bit of a hippie.
How do you get the sand out of the synth?
I was very careful. I sat up, there's a nice little grassy knoll at this secret beach, and I just sat up there with headphones. It was very peaceful, actually.
Away from the solo record, you've still been plenty busy. You've been working on a new Total Control record, or EP. Is that finished?
Yeah, I've got a few things going on at the moment. There's a Total Control EP, like about 7 or 8 songs that were probably about 7.5 songs finished in. Hopefully that'll come out later in the year. Yeah, and there's 2 other kind of projects. I've been doing this thing with Brandon and Brad from Eddie Current that's not Eddie Current, it's just kind of quiet stuff. That I'm finishing up that this week, and this other little duo thing. So yeah, it's been a real productive 6 months or so.
Is there ever any pressure with that stuff? I mean, for Total Control, you guys seem pretty good experts at sort of putting the brakes on and off when you need to.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of weight of expectation now with that band?
I think we've kind of gotten around that by cheating and maybe deciding to release an EP. Like, I feel like with EPs, there's no pressure for like it to be some kind of magnificent statement. But you know, everyone's waiting for an album, and it has to be something. So I think we just decided to make the plan over the next year or two is to make a couple of EPs that are a bit more maybe varied and silly.
Have some fun with it again.
Yeah, it's a pretty silly record.
Yeah, you also must be pretty good at turning down things in that band now. Has it sort of got like Eddie Current, where you're saying no to a lot of shows and festivals?
Yeah, I think I've gotten pretty good at turning down things over the course of my musical career.
One thing you didn't turn down was adding another feather to your cap and being a curator, because you've also recently put together the Follow the Sun compilation for Mexican Summer.
Yeah.
Which was a long time in the making, right? Getting all this 70s Australian folk and prog and stuff like that together?
Yeah, it was a long time. Probably over the course of almost 2.5 years since Keith asked me, and you know, there was an initial back and forth of tracks and getting like a cohesive 20 together, and then trying to find those artists or the labels and getting permission.
I've heard from a lot of people that Australian stuff in particular is really hard to find masters of, because it was such a small scene at the time, and people have died or moved house and just not necessarily archived this stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think really people were thinking ahead so much back then. It was like, oh, you know, people are going to want to know about this in the future. So, you know, the archival mentality didn't really exist so much, which is a shame. So, yeah, a few of the masters we had to, like, do our best to clean up off good copies of records and stuff, but it all worked out in the end.
How many Gary Shearston singles did you listen to, Mike?
I can't say I found any other Gary Shearston songs that were as good as that track, to be
that
honest.
Was the one diamond in the rough.
It's
all part of a busy schedule, which has also led to the ultimate accolade, because you were recently a spicy Aussie underground music meme.
I didn't know what that was until Al Moffat sent me that meme, and then yeah,
it's actually not sort of a diss. It's kind of like a Venn diagram of how busy you are.
It seemed quite an honour.
Recorded by Mikey Young, mastered by Mikey Young, mixed by Mikey Young. You're still doing plenty of that as well. I mean, a lot of Sydney bands and people I know are still sending files to you. So is it harder to say no to working on young band stuff?
I try not to say no to any. I don't record bands anymore. I don't have time to do that. Like, I had to let go of that. But mastering, I'm pretty happy to master anything, especially young bands. You know, I'd rather do interesting local bands than stuff I'm not into. But you know, usually I'm happy to work on anything, and I'm stoked that people keep asking me and trust me to do that with it. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing every day. You know, I get up and I sit down and sit in the same chair for like 12 hours, then go to bed.
Yeah, when you're not taking the synths to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to clear my mind somehow, you know.
Well, we might have a listen to one of the songs off of Your Move now. We'll play Walking for Pleasure.
Okay.
Which is one of these super chilled out moments.
Yeah, that one's pretty chill.
It's great to have this record out, and nice, I guess, for your parents to have something under your own name as well.
I think they must think I'm ashamed of it, so now they'll... But I think they'll just listen to it and think I'm kind of strange anyway.
Ask you to change your name, yeah. This is Mikey Young on Static. Thanks for the talk, Mikey.
Yeah, cheers.